What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 16th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. I very much appreciate that you guys are okay with me missing a day or two here and there. There are a lot of things going on in my world right now, and sometimes it just becomes too much that I can't take the time to do this. However, I am here for you today, and I hope that you're enjoying Jay Crumpler's articles on the weekend for the SB Roundup. He's doing an incredible job with it. There is one more thing. I am giving away a free month of PL Pro. If you hear this before 8 p.m. Eastern Time tonight, go to my Twitter channel. Sorry, and my Twitter account. And you'll see that I launched my own video game today, an iOS video game. It's very simple. It's called Line Dash. You can put in Line Dash game and you'll find it. It's fully free, 100% offline and no data taken, no ads. It's literally just a simple game. Have fun. Post your high score as a comment and the person with the highest score will get a free month of PL Pro. All right. Mackenzie Gore. What did he do yesterday? Well, he allowed a three-run blast in the first inning, and what is so funny is you see these games where a guy allows two or three runs in the first, and everybody laments, oh my gosh, should I drop Mackenzie Gore? This is terrible. This is bad. Well, guess what he did after that? He went six innings of one earned run ball and ended the day with 10 strikeouts. So it was seven innings, four runs, four hits, two walks, 10 Ks. That means three of those six base runners were just in that first frame. An amazing stretch after that, 17 whiffs and 32% CSW, and then 102-pitch loss. Now, this is the first game that Mackenzie Gore has had above seven strikeouts since April 8th, and he had back-to-back nine strikeout games there, so this is the highest of the season at 10. And it is also, though, his fourth of five games with a CSW above 31%. He was actually struggling to do that for a while. So does that mean he's back? And I'm actually trying to tell you, yes, I think he is. My favorite part of this one was Mackenzie Gore not really being a four-seamer curveball guy, but actually leaning into the changeup more against right-handers. The pitch went 4 for 16 in whiffs, and it paired beautifully not just with the four-seamer, which, by the way, had a 1.5 height-adjusted VAA. Oh, that's so good at 96. But also a 36% CSW cutter. And this pitch was the strike pitch deeper into counts where he needed something over the plate that wasn't the four-seamer, and he didn't want to rely on the chase of the changeup. And the curveball has been reduced to just being 0-0 called strikes to start an at-bat or that put away offering, and that's fine. You have the cutter in between, you have the changeup in between, and you have the four-seamer just all the time. That is great. The slider's still there against left-handers. I love this for Gore. It's just really about showcasing that consistency of command, and it looks like he has it for the meantime. We keep rolling with this, especially against the left-handed hating Friars in Arlington next time out. Dustin May, man, oh man, this was a fun one because look, since the beginning of the year, I really liked Dustin May out of the gate, and then I had to push back on my own self because, yeah, the first two starts were terrible. But the thing is, he's been exceptional since, and he hasn't had the strikeouts, but now finally, nine innings, complete game shutout. 101 pitches, so it wasn't Maddox, fine. One hit, one walk, and nine strikeouts. Oh my gosh, that is the final piece of the puzzle. And yeah, 32% swing strike rate on the sweeper. It wasn't the best located sweeper. It wasn't like it was down and away and just beautifully spotted all the time. But it worked. He threw it close enough and competitive enough that he had all those whiffs. 74% strike rate as well on it. But what was he doing against left-handers? Well, he's throwing these four-seamers upstairs now and really well with intent. And he has the cutter also mixing around with the sweeper and some changeups. But really the sinker then to right-handers as just here you go, try and hit this thing. And it worked out really well. So I dig this. I mean, Dustin May's in a great situation. It's the second straight game of going 101 pitches. So I talk about the fatigue game where you get pushed in one game a lot. You're probably going to be worse in the second one or the next one after. Not the case here. Two straight at 101. And yeah, Dustin May's solid. He's not going to likely have those nine strikeouts every time, but he is a good quality start guy. The whip might be higher. Like two base runners and nine is really, really shocking. He is a ground ball heavy guy. He will have a lot of those sneak through as we've seen in the past. But yeah, this is really, really fun. We have Zach Wheeler against the Miami Marlins getting a win, of course, because Ace is going to ace nine strikeouts in six innings. Ooh, we had a 35% CSW for a King Cole in this. Now, the four-seamer and the sinker are not getting whiffs like they used to. It was like in sub 10% swing strike rate in both. But they are pounding the zone without fear. They're doing great. And they're at 96. And the fact of the matter is that Zach Wheeler is at his 2025 velocity. How cool is that? JT Ginn got six innings of shutout ball against the Pirates in Sacre Verde. Six hits, two walks, three Ks. I should be really excited about this, right? Because he's been on a run. Well, he was down roughly two ticks on everything. That is scary, JT Ginn. Oh my gosh. Yes, you did have some good cutters and some changeups, and sure, but it's just, man, you can't do that. You can't really throw two ticks softer when you already are throwing soft. And you have that home park, and I'm very scared. Now he's going to host the Angels next. On paper, that looks good because it's the Angels, but it's also still in Sacramento, in Sacramento. You don't want to do this in the worst park for pitchers, you could argue, right there with Coors. We're going to exclude Vegas, my gosh. I don't really feel like I should be going after this. Chase Burns, ace is going to ace. He got a gallows pull and 19 whiffs here, 7 Ks in 5 innings, but he did have 3 walks. And you can blame Burns throwing too many two-strike pitches well over the plate for a lot of foul balls, and that meant that his high two-strike rate, that is, the number of batters or the rate of batters that saw a two-strike count was 73%, right? So theoretically, if he goes 100% put-away rate of all of those, that is a 73% strikeout rate, right? You understand? Cool. But only 44% of those batters struck out. Ah, dang it. So in actuality, he could have had far more strikeouts than this, but you just could not put him away. It was a low 19% per pitch put away rate, right? The overall one is a 44% put away rate, the per pitch 19%. I know it's a little confusing, but it's actually really helpful to understand sustainability every single time. And keep in mind, the slider is supposed to be like this devastator to right-handers. 0% put away rate on that in this one. No. Chase Burns, you could have been even better in this. This is why you're only going 5 innings on 100 pitches, not 6 or 7. Shota Imanaga, remember those terrible home runs that ruined that 4-game stretch? And I was saying, you know what? I know he had one or two of these games that were really bad, but he kind of pitched a lot better than the line is saying, and home runs are weird. Well, he faced the Colorado Rockies twice, and twice now he's been productive. Not quite as productive as last time, but this was 5.2 innings of 1 run, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. We'll take that, especially on a day where Imanaga's splitter was not at its best. It had 0 strikeouts on 6 opportunities against right-handers. That isn't fun. And I still love that the four-seamer is great. It had to go more in the zone this one. He got a little bit away with it, but I feel good with it. Still 92, still doing all the things that we generally want with getting outs with a splitter, even though it wasn't strikeouts, it still was effective. And yeah, we keep rolling with this. No home runs. Home runs are weird. And if that's the only reason why a guy is doing poorly, you should buy into that. Michael Lorenzen did well a second time against the Cubs. He got the gold star with 5 innings of 1 earned run, ball, whatever. You do not care about that. Andrew Alvarez, very interesting here. He only went 58 pitches. It was 4 innings of 1 earned run, 5 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. I don't know really why, but at the same time, the Nationals haven't allowed him to go 5 full yet. And for a guy that is interesting, but still needs to prove that he's worthy of your fantasy team, with a slider and a curveball that are good, but not elite, and very questionable fastballs on a not a great place to pitch. It's a hitter's park, and the offense can be good, and whatever. It's just not really where I ideally want a guy to go. All the stuff with Alvarez just kind of suggests, yeah, why would you chase this right now? Right? He doesn't have the leash. He doesn't have a good fastball. The park isn't good for him, and the offense can be good. James Wood, oh my gosh, you're amazing. Drew Anderson against the Astros. It was a bullpen game because Troy Melton was scratched in the last minute. So Drew Anderson went 59 pitches. We haven't seen the Tigers actually push him at all. 2.2 innings of 1 run, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. And the 1 run was after a walk, and that guy came around to score, sure. But with Drew Anderson, I am actually a little curious if they do give him an opportunity for longer, and yet they just haven't done that, and I don't think they will. Ryan Nelson against the Angels got himself 7 innings of 2 run ball, 9 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. You know, that is the first time in 6 games that Ryan Nelson has gone over 3 strikeouts. The slider was down. Oh my gosh, 22% swing strike rate, 34% usage. However, one of the things about Ryan Nelson is because he throws these fastballs a ton, they put them in play. Batters attack Ryan Nelson offense. Why? You can get to 7 innings and 95 pitches because they do put these pitches in play, but they're often 5 balls that don't leave the yard. And there you go. Only 1 home run in this one. So that means you do not have a high 2 strike rate. That is, the batter does not go like Chase Burns to two strikes counts over 70% of the time. No, only 44% of them had a two strike count in this. That's a low number. So that means the ceiling of his strikeout ability isn't very high. That is the main problem here with a guy like Ryan Nelson, and really is a good showcase of a lot of these quality start arms who are not strikeout providers, but they're able to go deeper into games. It's the give and take, right? If you don't get to two strikes, then you're not going to be able to get a strikeout. Think of Ryan Nelson as a Toby with a solid schedule, right? I've pulled back on this idea that he can be a Holly, like a 21 to 23% strikeout rate guy. It just isn't there enough. And he hasn't taken the leaps forward as I've wanted him to. With the secondaries, this is a good step. But even with that 22% swing strike rate on his slider at 34% usage, we only got 5 Ks for Ryan Nelson in 7 innings. All right, we have a few other guys we want to talk about, like Walbert Urania, Nick Martinez, Jared Jones. Got to do that. And I'll tell you about all of them and more after this break. Mike Paredes went 4.2 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. And you might think, oh man, they're really stretching him out. Nope. Once again, they're limiting him to about 60 pitches. It was 59 here. So don't fall for that. And you probably should get one more opportunity before the Twins bring back Mick Abel, who's looked good in rehab, and you might want to start stashing him now. So that's all I'm going to mention there. Walbert Urania against the Snecks in Arizona, 7 innings, 3 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. Looks awfully like a very poor quality start, but a little bit better with one extra inning. This is the second straight outing, though, that Urania has failed to have a good changeup. And that changeup has been the pitch that has steered this incredible run for him, where he's allowed three earned runs or fewer in all but one game. And that was just 4 earned runs back on April 25th, right? So Urania without that changeup is very, very precarious. I mean, this is the second straight one with a sub 50% strike rate on that pitch. And what happened last game was the sweeper made up for it. Did not hear. This was a 40% strike sweeper. 8 for 20 strikes. Ah. But what happened? The sinker went 86% strikes to get him to the finish line, which did have a careful Icarus waiting for him with an extra earned run in that 7th frame. Fine. But I don't really love it. Like, he's such a boring Toby. You know, if he does this for the entire year, he is clearly Spider-Man because it's not a high strikeout rate. It is not really the greatest whip. It's just fine as far as an ERA goes, right? And think of him as a decent quality start play, but the changeup falling behind for 2 straight does make me worried about going into Sacra Verde opposite JT Ginn, right? That might be a little bit of a trap play. Eric Lauer got me the streaming victory over PL Bot yesterday, who needed one more out from Mike Paredes to get a win and didn't get it. I'm so sorry, PL Bot. But Eric Lauer went 6 innings of 3 earned runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. That is a very poor quality start, and that is just the end line of me getting a streaming victory. Oh my gosh. Now, Lauer is a guy that I say, hey, look, if you have your 4-seamers getting whiffs, I'm feeling cool about it. 3 over 38 whiffs on that 4-seamer. All right. Not good. The cutter was the sole pitch that went over a 55% strike rate, and it was 83% as it was the only thing pulling him out from danger. I do not like buying into that. I don't really think that Eric Lauer is a guy that you should be rostering. Nick Martinez went opposite Lauer against the Dodgers, 5.1 innings, so 3 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. So for the Dodgers, that is kind of great, Martinez. You went 6 strikeouts too, which is one of the rare times that you have more than a strikeout per inning, and it raised your strikeout rate to 14.7%. Yes, I'm using the decimal instead of just saying 15% because it is just that low. Oh my gosh. Now, if you want, you can hold on to this Vargas rule a little bit longer as he does go against the left-handed focused Nationals. His changeup is his best pitch. It was his best one here, of course, as well, which means that he should be able to fend off the left-handers effectively there. But I don't know. I mean, there's also an extra tick of velocity that we saw here from Nick Martinez on everything but the changeup, which is good. You want that changeup still being underneath 80 miles per hour, but it's just so boring, right? I mean, this wasn't great. 300 runs and 5.1 innings are 2 outs away from a poor quality start and a 1 whip, essentially. But it's up to you. Lucas Giolito at the Cardinals, oh man. 5 innings, 300 runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, and 2 strikeouts. His changeup went 14 for 30 strikes. That is sub 50%. And you're thinking, my gosh, wow, well, I guess then the slider probably made up for it. Oh, no. It went 1 for 12 strikes. And then he threw 2 curveballs that were also balls. This was just a 91, 92 mile per hour four-seamer doing everything it possibly could. And somehow wasn't worse than this. Do not go for that for Lucas Giolito. Ryan Gusso was someone that Eric Cymulski and I talked about on the Corner podcast last week as someone we want to keep an eye on for this Philly start that might entice us to start him against the Giants after. However, oh boy, 4.2 innings of 5 earned runs, 8 hits, 3 walks, and 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? There are some interesting things about the stuff here. It is a wide arsenal, but no, I can't do this. I absolutely cannot. He really struggled to put batters away here, obviously. He did get 13 whiffs, and go 13 whiffs and 1 strikeout does really showcase the stuff is better than the results, but I feel like you have to see Gusto really pull it off before you go for it. Jared Jones, disappointing outing here at Sacra Verde. 4 innings, 5 earned runs, 8 hits, 1 walk in 4 Ks. He allowed 2 run shots. I hate being a stutterer there. They were the real damage, of course, that made up all 4 earned runs of the 5. And the slider command was either down the pipe or just easily spat on and taken, right? And the fastball, oh my gosh, it was a scatter shot. Now, 17 of 15 balls in play went for hits. That is Kovacs being a little bit cruel. That said, all of those hits were in the bottom half. And I just want to say, okay, Jared Jones, throw it upstairs and make sure you do that and you should be great. So he didn't do that. He deserves it a bit there. I should mention Carmen Muljinski also appeared after Jones for 3 innings of 1 earned run, but 5 unearned runs. 7 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. You shouldn't be considering him at all. And Jones, now at 75 pitches, is 2 games into the gauntlet of the Dodgers in Sacra Verde. And next up is Coors. It's up to you. I am starting him because I feel that Jones is of quality enough to do it. It wasn't here, but I feel like he should be better. It's tough. You're not going to drop Jared Jones. You should not be dropping him because he will be much better after this. Oh no, Nick, it's Bubba Chandler all over again. No, it's Jared Jones. He's better. Kaiwei Tang against the Tigers. 3.1 innings of 5 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks. And get this, in 3.1 innings of work, Kaiwei Tang had 9 strikeouts. Do the math, guys. That is 10 outs. With 9 being his strikeouts. So what I think is an important lesson here is you see this line, you read it. And if you know about Kaiwei Tang, you know that he is heavily focused on his breaking pitches and does not have good fastballs. He's also someone who has some really bad waste pitches and then some meatballs with those breakers. And then all of a sudden he throws like the best breaking pitches and that's how he has 14 whiffs. Right, it's very much hit or miss. It's the most literal version of that, in my view. So, when you see 9 strikeouts, though, and 3.1 innings with, 6 hits and 2 walks and 5 earned runs, and you also have 3 home runs in here, all of your ERA estimators are going to say that Kaiwei Tang was unlucky and that he deserves so much better. That is one of my biggest issues about those ERA estimators. For example, how does FIP work? Well, K minus walk rate, essentially, and then left on base rate, BABIP, and home run rate. That is, I mean, if you really want to describe FIP, that is it. Okay? So if you look at it here, you're going to be like, well, BABIP was obviously high home run rate. Oh my gosh, left on base rate. Jeez, those are unsustainable. And like, yeah, look at the K minus walk rate. Amazing. So he should be great. That's kind of what I'm getting at. Don't do that. It's why I understand ERA estimators in a quick look, but you are going to do yourself a much better solid understanding how that is derived and realizing how much the pitcher actually does affect those things more than FIP just generalizes it. All right, Mitch Spence, remember that name, somebody I've been kind of interested for a while. Well, he does have a 92 mile per hour cutter that is cool, but that's actually not as shocking as it was, say, 3-4 years ago. And given a spot start here by the Royals, he went 63 pitches and it wasn't good. 4 innings, 6 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Yeah, nope, this isn't good enough. This is a sweeper, with sinker, cutter, that just, not enough. I think there's a curveball in there too. No thanks. And last, we have Tobias Myers. Now, Myers was really supposed to be an opener for David Peterson, and he got destroyed. So 1.1 innings of 7 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 1 strike. And how am I supposed to butter my bread with this? If you actually started Tobias Myers, why? I don't know. I have a lot of sympathy for you. And David Peterson came in after for 3 innings of 3 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 1 strike. And also, how am I supposed to butter my bread with this? And the fact of the matter is that that looks great compared to what we just saw with Myers, but stop going after either of these guys if you have. Just, it's not good. 6 for 14 strikes on David Peterson's changeup. Oh my gosh. All right. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. We'll have a lot of things to announce in the next month, so look out for that. I'm not going to say anything more, but so that is it for today. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.